the Future of AI. My name is Joe Mardell, and I'm the co-director of the European Chatbot Summit. I post content on LinkedIn with emerging technologies, and I have a podcast called Founders of the Future, where I interview founders of technology startups to find out how they're using emerging technologies to solve real-world problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me. So, as Joe introduced me, my name is Sheetla Tiwari. It's a bit strange name, but yeah, that's what I got. And right now, I'm a third year engineering undergraduate in IIIT Una. I'm majoring in machine learning and AI. And currently, I'm working with a startup as a co-founding team member. And I'm AI community manager. It's a company called DocShip. DocShip is a place for AI models. And our main aim is to generalize the AI for everyone. So looking forward to have great conversation with Vikrant and Joe. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Vikrant here. Thank you so much, Joe, for having us on your podcast. Vikrant here, guys. So I have my own YouTube channel and podcast. Basically, I'm creating content regarding mindset and entrepreneurship. Apart from that, I have done with my graduation in 2018. And then after, I was pursuing CS. But I left CS. Basically, the reason behind that is I was very intrigued toward the idea of entrepreneurship and AI. And I have my own company, we were working in the e-commerce sector. And that is a little bit about myself.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Great. Thanks for introducing yourself, guys. I think for the first thing that we'll talk about, we'll just jump straight in to talking about AI and maybe how AI is being used in the current situation to solve problems related to COVID-19, the global pandemic that we're all living through right now. Maybe Vikrant, I know that you've worked on a couple of problems recently with DocShip and your hackathons using AI to solve COVID-related problems. Would you mind just starting off by talking a little bit about that?
So I think, in current situation, there is a very famous, author called Yuval Noah Harari. I mean, you must have heard about this author. So he talked a lot about the importance of AI in health sector in coming decades. So that way, if I put a very brief introduction, AI is going to play a very vital role in coming decade. The reason is very simple, because using artificial intelligence, we can sense that what's happening in our body, what's going on inside ourselves, and through that, through help of that, we can actually take everything, every data, and convert into data, and then later we can find the cure of cure or symptoms of everything. So
Joe, we are currently working on this pandemic situation, and we are taking it very, very seriously, because we think the technology is not only used for easing our life, it should be used for making us better and prepared for the future. So our first challenge we conducted was face mask detection. It was a very successful, and almost we received almost 500 proposals for the hackathon, but only 50 were got selected. And it was a huge competition, but I saw very good solution people given on their using different techniques on deep learning. They did the best. We were not imagine that someone could think like that as well. So it's very good to use technology. And in this, what happens when so many people come together to solve single problem, that problems become much more clearer. And everyone has their own perception that how they want to solve the problem. And the best results will amaze you. You will not expect that this is going to happen, but it will happen, because this is the power of community. So our first hackathon was huge success, and we got that model, that was Binner model, and it has very amazing accuracy and amazing technology and codes used inside the model. So we thought that we should push this again. And right now we are conducting one more hackathon. It is also based on the COVID-19 situation. And it is trying to handle the social distancing part. So first was the image recognition, and this is a little bit advanced. It involves a real-time image detection, plus the distancing between the two vectors that we are recognizing in the real time. So it is a little bit advanced, and we are also inviting all the participants who participated in previous hackathon so that they can get more chances, because they are now familiar with our process. They are now familiar with how our hackathons advance, and we are receiving huge amount of applicants in like 4 to 5 days. We received almost close to 100 and 150 proposals, and we are opening our hackathon from the next week. And it is going to be grand success, not because we are doing so much great work. That's the another equation, but because of this problem, it's so much intriguing, and the community wants to contribute towards this. That's why we are getting huge number of applicants. And I think this is going to be grand success as well.
That's great. It's so amazing to hear about all of these people coming together, working together to like build this community and solve a really important problem that's going to benefit a lot of people. So I think you're doing something really, really good there. And I generally just love the idea of hackathons, bringing people together and you know, building this community. And have you always been involved with hackathons? Like, is this something that you've kind of known about for a long time, participated in hackathons? What's your kind of experience with hackathons in the past?
Okay, so my experience with hackathon was really, really good, especially when I was a beginner. That pushed me to bring Dogship in that direction. Dogship was initially the marketplace where you can upload your model and just the company who need it, they can download. But when I saw that hackathons had this good potential of bringing communities together and letting them to build our platform so that we don't have to manage everything, so that community can run the website. So it all came because when I was in IIT Mandi, Indian Institute of Technology Mandi, I participated in one hackathon. It was a government project, and we have to build a deep learning model that can detect monkeys in real time. I made that project. I did everything from the scratch. I picked a camera and went on mountains to click the photos of monkeys so that I can use as a data. And that was a good experience for me. And I thought that every beginner should have this experience. So that's why we build a additional branch in our Dogship that is called Dogship Infinity. And Dogship Infinity only handles the hackathon. So that was the basic idea. And that was my intention towards making Dogship Infinity, so that every beginner or every mediocre who is going through this journey of learning artificial intelligence and deep learning, they can go through Dogship Infinity and they can have this confidence that yes, they can build a real world project. Their knowledge is not only in the books, it can be used in real life as well. So that's how it got into the picture.
That's awesome. It sounds like that would be a really, really inspiring experience. And I think that's so cool that you actually went out and kind of took the pictures of the monkeys yourself, gathered that data. That's really, really exciting. And do you use the same kind of idea when you're building your hackathons? Do you encourage people to collect their own data, or how would you advise people to go about getting their data sets to build their models with?
We are encouraging people to use their own data set, but we are also providing a seed data set as well, so that they can have the idea that what their data set should look like. Right? Like suppose we are using our data set from the face mask detection, and we are also encouraging them to use face masks on their own face or their family's face, and they should click the pictures so that their data set gets more solid and their data set gets more, you know, have every possible things in the variation of color, size, disturbance, anything. So data set gets rich, and that's how they can do better in the hackathon, and they don't have to be only dependent on our data set. And most of the participants did very amazing job, and when we saw their data set, it was like awesome. They clicked thousands of pictures to make their data set rich, and that's how their model got improved and overall result became very robust and accurate.
I see. So the people that are more likely to win the competition are the ones that put in the work to collect the biggest data set with the most variety of different pictures and so on and so forth. Also, Vikrant, would you mind just talking a little bit about whether you've got any experiences with like hackathons or any kind of like development competitions or events, anything around that sort of area?
So, yeah, I mean, so we have Zoo and Sitla. So one of the questions that, you know, I actually, you know, I mean, ask a lot. When I put, you know, this poster on my, you know, I mean, story, they say, you know, I mean, people, though, they don't have idea, right? What is AI? So I want to ask both of you, in a simple way, tell people what is AI, what is artificial intelligence, and how it can affect their future.
Sure. So the way I look at AI is that it's the ability of a machine to look at data and extract patterns from that data to make decisions and learn progressively over time. So it's the way that machines become intelligent, kind of like in the same way that humans or animals do. So it's just looking at information and trying to kind of make patterns in the data and learn from that.
Yeah, perfect. Makes sense. When I started looking for the AI, this the definition that fascinated me, it was that when we see AI, it's artificial intelligence. It means intelligence generated artificially, right? Yeah. So what do we mean by intelligence? We mean by intelligence making decisions by seeing some things. Like if you're walking and you fall down, you'll get up quickly because that's the trigger. If you are seeing someone is going to attack you, you will run away because that's the trigger. So that's how we are trying to develop the intelligence by making them aware that if this happens, do this. If this happens, do this. But we can contradict that this is also a heuristic programming because we also do that in heuristic programming by using if else, for loops, while, all these things. So how this artificial intelligence is different from the heuristic programming. So in heuristic programming, what happens, we have data and then we make the outcomes. But in artificial intelligence, we already have outcome and then we get to the data. So this is the difference. This goes sideways. In that we have function and we get the output. And in this, we have the output and we have to get the function. So this is how heuristic programming and artificial intelligence is difference. So this definition is a little bit mathematical, but this is how I make sense in the beginning.
Yep. So if I talk about, you know, I mean, what you know, general population know about AI and these things. So right now it's pandemic going on. So people, you know, they don't have any idea about. They are, you know, just, you know, busy in making sure that their job is working fine and this thing. How about, let's say, in coming decade or in next 5 to 10 years, can we tell that AI can disrupt the entire industry? It's kind of, you know, next industry revolution.
See, Vikrant, Joe, I hope you will agree with me on this. So what we see, if you ask someone 10 years before or maybe 15 years before, what do you think going to revolutionize the next 10 or 15 years? They will not have any clear idea because our progression doesn't happen in a linear way. It happens in a jump. We call them black swan events. A black swan events, like it happens in a jump. We see something and then boom. And now if you ask someone that what you think changed the world, they will say internet, electricity, laser, satellite, all those things. But 10 years before, they didn't have any clear idea about these things. Do you agree?
Yeah, exactly.
So if we are saying that AR, VR, artificial intelligence, or maybe deep learning, machine learning, all these things combined with IoT or something is going to change the world in 10 years, 15 years, we are being naive. We are being biased on the basis of knowledge that we right now we have. But from the 15 years, we don't know what black swan event is going to take place. And we might see complete different technologies and complete different things that are making bigger impact at those time. So I think that making those predictions that AI is the future, going to eat our jobs, or AI is the cruel to human, it is going to kill humanity, is very, very less truth, and it is only biased because we know much about AI and we think this is going to happen, but it's not completely true.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're hitting on a lot of very important points there about how it's very difficult to predict the future developments and technology because they do seem to happen like a big jump. But I would say that there are kind of patterns Like, you know, the technologies, they don't develop in a linear progression, but they do grow in a fairly predictable way due to exponential growth. So you can predict roughly how the jump is going to take place because the technologies are growing exponentially. And you can kind of track that. The difficulty is where technologies converge together. So if you've got more than one exponential trend happening at the same time, it's very difficult to predict what will happen when those technologies are used within one company or to solve a specific problem. Maybe a company is using like VR, AI, and then like, you know, quantum computing thrown in the mix. Like what happens when you bring in all of these different technologies? No one can conceive that right now because it's literally impossible. That's what really excites me about the future.
Yeah.
I mean, Sitla, you mentioned very good. We cannot predict the future. You know what's going to happen. Same thing, you know, Joe. But let's bust some of the myths. You know that people have that AI can kill the job. What do you think, Joe and Sitla? I mean, how we can say? I mean, how we can make sure? You know, how we can tell them that no, AI is not going to kill your job. But what's the reality? You know.
Right, this is a really difficult one because I've got into debates about this with people on LinkedIn before. I've made posts about automation and, you know, I've had all these guys like commenting on my posts saying, oh, this is so like unethical, you're going to make people unemployed and stuff. And so I'm always kind of like, I've got to be kind of careful talking about this, but it is something that I think is really important and should be discussed because a lot of people do have misconceptions about this topic. And I do think that AI and the other technologies, it could lead to a lot of jobs being lost because a lot of jobs will be kind of rendered useless. AI will be able to do those jobs a lot better than humans could. So that I'm not denying that, but what we've seen with any of the previous technology trends throughout modern history is that whenever jobs were displaced, the technology that replaced those jobs created a lot more jobs than it actually destroyed. So for example, the internet created about twice as many jobs as it replaced. So there's like this period of time where that is like a transition period where quite a few people will lose their jobs, but then over time, the technology will actually start to create a lot of jobs so that in the long run, people are better off. And this has happened with countless technologies. Like, for example, before computers came along, in like for a newspaper factory, they would have to have hundreds of people sat in a warehouse or in a big hall on typewriters, like typing out newspapers. And then as soon as a computer came along, one person could sit there on a computer and print that piece of paper thousands of times. So all of those people would have lost their jobs. But the thing is that all of those people who lost their jobs, eventually they'll find a new job. And over time, the jobs that people start to get, the new jobs that come along, they are consistently more enjoyable and just less dangerous, like just generally better jobs for people than what was being done previously. And if you look hundreds of years ago or like, you know, a few decades ago, the majority of people were doing quite kind of mind-numbingly boring, repetitive jobs that just gave no fulfillment to people. So if you're kind of replacing these mundane jobs that don't give any enjoyment, if you're replacing them with much better jobs that people can actually find happiness with, then I think that is a positive thing in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. Good points.
Yeah. Sitla, what's your point on this? I mean,
I think Joe made it completely clear that technology's advancement are going to kill the job, that is sure. But it is going to create more jobs. And we do not fear that it is going to kill job. We fear that we are so comfortable with this right now, that job we have, that we don't want to change. And this is exactly the problem. It's not the problem that AI is going to kill the job. Problem is we don't want to change. You remember when computers came in the banks, in the offices, in the schools, people, you know, they go on the strikes that they don't want computers because it is going to kill their jobs. They don't want computers because so many writers are going to be jobless. But they could learn the computer. They could learn the typewriting. They could go with the technology. It's not the technology that is problem. It's the people who don't want to change is the problem. So definitely AI is going to kill the job. But if you on the side of changing and you are evolving, then you're going to be fine.
Yep. We'll take this question further. So before that, you know, I mean, let me ask a very interesting question. You know, I mean, not a lot of YouTubers are avoiding this thing and they never talk about this thing. Okay. So the question is, what are the top 5 industries that is going to grow in next 5 to 10 years? Now, if you see, you know, on YouTube and internet, they will say there is a lot of industry. They will talk about this content marketing, this thing, digital marketing, but they never talk about AI.
Right.
So what do you guys think? What are the top 5 industries that is going to grow in next 5 to 10 years?
Okay. Well, so do you mean industries where there's going to be opportunities for jobs? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So as of now, what people are saying though, in future, digital marketing, the key digital marketing, you should learn if you want to, you know, get more jobs, if you want to develop more skill. Secondly, they are talking, you know, more about this thing, you know, called, manufacturing, this, you know, we have, you know, these packages. I mean, I don't know what they are talking. Second thing is manufacturing. And third is, you know, I mean, batteries and this thing, you know, which is electricity and this thing. So what do you think, Joe?
Right. So I think the obvious one would be like going into software development and like machine learning related jobs, because that is the trend. So if you're kind of like, if you're the sort of person that is better to do those kind of technical roles, then I would recommend that for you. But obviously that doesn't apply to everyone. Personally, I'm not a very technical person. So that's why I never went into that role. I'm more kind of like towards the business side of things. I'm more of a people person. But if you look at the skills that are going to be in high demand and the skills that are going to be at risk of being automated, you want to try and build as many of the skills that are safe from automation as possible. So we're talking about like emotional intelligence, kind of creative skills, things that can't just easily be done by a computer. So if you're like studying law and you want to just go into kind of like contract writing or something like that, that's going to be easily automated by an AI in the next 10, 20 years. So if you're kind of like spending years and thousands of pounds training to do that job, I would highly suggest that you don't do that and train to do something else. Because the last thing you want is to like spend all that money and time learning to do a job that's just going to be replaced very soon. So if I was you, I would kind of say, learn the skills that are safe from
against the train. So I, according to my opinion, there is no job. Like from the beginning of this planet, all we need is food, shelter, and comfort. That's all. That's all we need as a human being. And everything, like if you talk about digital marketing, it's just marketing. Before we used to do it on the banner, on the poster. Right now we are doing it on the computer. Marketing is same, just the medium changed. Exactly. So managing the people, managing the money, these skills are never going to go away. These are the top paying skills. The people who are managing the people who are managing the money, they are not going to be jobless. These are the top industries. So you may talk about that digital marketing is going to go high, but it's just the marketing. It's just the dealing with the people. It's knowing the how market works. So these things, these are not new things. These are just the new trends. So the things that are hot right now will be hot in the future as well.
Change. You know, it's like, you know, exactly. You know, before 5 years, if you see, nobody were aware about digital marketing. Nobody were, doing this thing, But right now, if you see everyone, whether you are a chartered accountant, whether you are a lawyer, you want to learn digital marketing because you want to gain your client, right? In every business, needs digital marketing. So that way, my point was, what about future? Do you think in future also, we need to learn a little bit of, artificial intelligence if you want to automate your business, right? This time, if you say in 21st century, everyone, especially youth, they want to automate the things, right? If I want to own my business, I want to automate my business. So what's your point on this? Can we automate our business in future using AI and machine learning?
operation parts. You have to put the work. Maybe operations are automated. There will be another things to manage. Maybe you have to manage the automation part as well. But no creation can exist without the creator. Because, you know, Vikrant, this is a give and take economy. You create something for other, they will create some value for others. If you can automate these things and you don't put any work, so you're not creating any value. So how you can expect that someone is going to put money in your bank? So things will be automated. A lot of things will be automated, but it is never going to be like everything is done. Now you go and sleep on your bed.
For example, let's take chatbox. You know, chatbots, they are totally automated, right?
Exactly.
So that way, can we automate some of the things, like some of the operations? Let's say our customer service backend team. This thing can be automated, right? In future.
Exactly. Perfectly. Yeah. They can be automated. Yeah.
Yes. That was the question. How about Joe? What do you think, Joe? What are the stuff we can automate in future?
Yeah, I robotic process automation, AI, and machine learning to basically look through an entire business, how it functions, all of the operations and processes within a business, and it identifies any kind of small thing that can be automated within that business, and then it automatically builds the processes, that builds the models to actually do that, and it implements them. So using things like that in the future, we'll actually be able to automate a huge portion of most businesses, which would then free up a lot of human creativity to come up with really, really interesting ideas for products and services and business models that we just can't even imagine right now.
So how we can learn, you know, AI? Let's say it's a common person, they want to learn the AI, the basics, just one of the basics they want to learn. Maybe because they are thinking that in future, they might have to learn this skill. What are the basic steps to learn AI?
So, Vikrant, the basic steps to learn the AI is you have to first make up your mind that AI is composed of so many things. It's not just a single subject that you can do and just, okay. So first, AI is the definition part, what AI is. Second, it involves huge mathematics and huge calculations. Like you need good calculus, good matrix multiplication, good arithmetic to go good at AI. So if that is something that you want to do, or you want to just know that this is AI and this is how I, like, we all use Excel sheets, right? We all use so many softwares, but we didn't code them. We didn't design them. Someone else designed and we know how to use them and our life is going easy. So there are two things. If you want to learn about AI, just you want to use the AI or you want to create the AI. So if you are on the creator part, it's a little bit different or a little bit difficult. You need a good education, maybe 2 to 3 years of good mathematics, practice, coding skills, logical skills, good brain. And if you just want to use AI and know about how it is going to impact you, then it is just 1 to 2 months part and you can get good at it by using so many tools and tutorials online.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the big difference between me and the way that I've learned AI compared to you, Shitala, and a lot of other people that I talk to on LinkedIn who are machine learning engineers, data scientists, and all of those roles. I never learned to code. I'm not a data scientist and I haven't studied maths at higher education. I didn't go down that path of being an AI creator because that's not something that I want to do. That's just not the way that I'm kind of, that's not what I'm geared up for. I'm not a hugely technical person, but I do find AI absolutely fascinating. And I can see the impacts that it's going to have on business and on the economy. And that's what I find the most interesting. It's not kind of how do you write the code to build it, although that is really interesting. But what I'm more interested about is the impact that it's going to have on the future. So that's what I've learned about is, you know, how can AI be used to solve problems? What are the use cases of different forms of AI and how can they be used in various different industries and various different business models? So like you said, Shitala, you can learn, it takes a long, long time to learn to build AI because you need all of this very advanced maths and high levels of coding skills. But it's relatively straightforward to learn about the implications of AI and the use cases of AI. And you can do that by just studying one or two online courses on Coursera, Udemy, or following some good quality content creators on LinkedIn, YouTube, or listening to podcasts. There's all kinds of ways to do it. And you don't need massive amounts of mathematical or coding skills.